the presence of a healer today. His name is Jesus. And we're going to be talking today about the woman with the issue of blood. And I don't know if you're here and you've got some physical issues, but I believe by the Spirit of God that He's going to heal them today. That there is a gift of healing today that we are going to receive. And so this is what I'm going to do. I want to keep just this tender atmosphere. I don't want any hugging. I want you to sit down and we're going to get right into the Word and see what He says about it. And after we get done getting into the Word, we're going to pray and we're going to lay hands on you as ministers. So worship team, will you come back out when I call you? You know, sometimes it's hard to keep an atmosphere of just tenderness, and I believe God wants to do something. God is very serious about His people. He's very serious about you. He's nothing that He's surprised by. There's no circumstance in our life that He can't conquer. There's no issue in our world that takes Him by surprise. He doesn't go, oh my goodness, I can't believe that just happened in their world. He says, no, but I'm the answer to that. I'm the answer. Maybe you've been to the doctors and maybe you've had issues and reports and things that have happened. And I believe God is going to speak to us today. As the women of God, yeah, it should be coming out. As the women of God. I had a joke, but I'll give it to you at the end, okay? Such a serious moment. If you have your pens and your papers, I believe God wants to meet with us today. I don't believe that He wants to play around. I think He has some business to do. And there's a woman in the Word of God. Thank you, Mom. And there's many references to this story. And as we've been talking about women in the Bible, have you enjoyed women in the Bible? I have learned so much from these women. And there's a woman in the Bible that I really relate with. And it's the woman with the issue of blood. In many accounts of her, there's one in Matthew, if you're writing down Matthew 9, 20 through 22. I'm going to give you all the references. This is Bible study. You need to go back. You need to go back into your notes and you need to read them for yourself. See what God reveals to you when you go home. Mark 5, 25 through 34 and Luke 8, 43 through 48. And that's where we're going to go. I wanted to show you a depiction of what this woman went through. But I'd like to read it first. So if you turn with me to Luke 8. See, I don't have my Bible, Pastor Jess. We'll put it up on the screens. But I'm asking that you bring your Bible. If you need a Bible, let us know. We'd love to help you get your hands on a Bible because this is life and death. We live in a dark world and this is the light that will bring hope to your heart. Luke 8, 43. And it says, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, it's a long time, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind the border of His garment, talking about Jesus. And immediately, I love that, immediately, her flow stopped. Let me tell you, I'm sure that after 12 years of that flowing, that she knew that there was a change in her body. You know, that affects us. We can't preach this message very deeply with men in the room. But you know the effects of having your period. You say, what is the flow? I actually saw some commentaries and people were like, what is the flow? The flow is your period. And back in that time, if you read in Leviticus, whoo, boy, does Leviticus really lay it out for you. And it says that you, in Leviticus 15, if you want to go back, I'm serious, that's probably not a passage you want to read to your kids right now while they're young. But it talks about how you're unclean. It talks about men with semen, and it talks about women with the flow of blood. It talks about bodily functions like diarrhea. Now, I say that really oddly here in a group of women, but the men freely talked about it on this weekend, how different we are. And they explained that when these bodily functions happen, that you are unclean. You are to put your aside for 7 days. Now, I think about that, I'm like, ooh, really? Like for 7 days, I get to go hang out with my girlfriends in a different tent and not have to take care of the kids and the husband. That does not sound like a bad deal to me. Kind of sounds like a breather, you know? because we can handle each other's mood swings and whatever. We get it, right? We get each other. And this is what happened with them. But can you imagine 12 years? I mean, 12 years of no one being able to touch you, you not being able to be around people, you being rejected, people knowing your story and knowing your issue, because it was not in that time something that you talked about, but it was something you were marked by. And this woman had been marked for 12 years, unable to get healed. She had tried every avenue. I remember before I had my son, Micah, I had an issue similar to this. I had tried every doctor. We were at Rhema Bible Training Center. We had no insurance. I went to every clinic you could possibly think of. And they gave me everything that I did not need. It ended up causing me a lot of pain because I would try methods that I was like, this is not working. My poor husband, newly married, he's going, what did I do to you? Are you okay? And this was just a miserable time for me. I mean, I remember coming home for Christmas with my parents and just being curled up on the couch in a ball because I was just in so much pain. And I'll never forget my sister's little son, James. He was probably about maybe 3 at that time. James came over to me and said, Auntie, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm hurting really, really bad. And he said, well, I'm going to pray for you. And James laid his hands on me and said, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. And he goes, okay, all done. And it was just so cute. And I remember the Lord spoke to my heart, faith like a child. And I realized at that moment, I am not fighting this the right way. I have to get myself in faith. This woman had tried it all, just as I had. And I got no answers. You know, humans can only do so much. But God, he can do the impossible. You see, but we need to walk in faith. As soon as her faith reached out and touched his hem, power went out from him. And immediately her flow stopped in verse 45. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him, Master, the multitudes throng and press you. And you say, who touched me? 46. But Jesus said, somebody touched me. For I perceive power going out from me. 47. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down at before him and declared to him that the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately, verse 48. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. I love how he called her daughter. Daughter is a word of endearing. Daughter is something that you use on someone you love, someone that's close to you, someone that is part of your inner circle. I don't just call a stranger daughter, right? No, this was his daughter. And he said, your faith has made you whole. I want you to look at the overhead screens. I have a video. It's a little long. We like movies, right, nowadays? And it's a bit old. But I loved the message of this, and I could not tell it as pretty as they did. And so if you would just pay attention to the overhead screens.
You're not dying. Sholi, the Ma'asala Ki. Darby. Alta Bakhti. Thank you.
Hello. I don't know, you know, the Bible doesn't depict every part of that, but it was such a beautiful thought when he held her at the end for her to be able to have human touch again. Did you catch that? I mean, she had not been accepted or touched or loved like the human heart needs, like the physical body of a human being needs. And here was Jesus ready to heal her, and she thought, he may not be able to touch me, but if I could touch just the hem of the garment of the one who has made all things new, she was healed. You see, what a beautiful story for her, but that is not just her story, ladies. That's our story. He's a big God. He's a God who loves us. He's a God who cherishes us. He's a God who wants only the best for us. We live in a dark world that has many diseases and a lot of sickness and a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, a lot of devastation. But if we could just get to the feet of Jesus. And it was interesting, as I was watching this movie and studying, and the Lord began to minister to my heart, and I said, God, that's amazing that you stopped, and you said, power came from me. Power left me. Somebody got healed. Who touched me? And he said, my power is not for me, but my power is for all of you. You see, he came to save the world. The blood on the cross was for your healing and for our healing together. We do not have to live in a world where we don't see our bodies healed. We don't have to live in a world where there's devastation in our hearts and we can't move past depression and pain and anxiety. You see, he is the one that is the answer to it all. And it simply comes by faith. Just as James prayed over me when he was little and said, okay, it's all done, Auntie. I believe that's all God is asking of us. Okay, it's done. And then you begin to thank God for your healing when you're prayed for. You see, lessons from this woman. She was quite an amazing woman. They documented her 3 times in the Word of God. That's pretty amazing. She didn't have a name. I've read commentaries. They say her name was Veronica. I mean, I don't know where they come up with some of this, you know, like, pretty name. And, you know, but the reality of it is the Bible did not actually document her name. But you know what name the Bible did document about her? Daughter. He documented her that day as his daughter. You see, you're his daughter. And lessons from this daughter of God. Number one, if you're writing it down, she came and approached him. She approached him. You say, well, we're not living in that world anymore where he's walking the streets and I can go run after Jesus and touch but the hem of his garment. Oh no, we live in the New Testament times. Well, after he left us his power. He left us his strength. He left us his healing. And believe me, girls, the same God that was then is the same God now. The healing that was then is the same healing now. And he has given us, I believe, more access than we've ever had. But because it has to come by faith, because it's not something we can just go see. I can't walk into the kingdom and the throne of God at this point. I have to be in faith in my heart and say, I am coming before you, Abba Father. And I'm petitioning the throne. When I was hurting and I was in pain, I cannot tell you how many times I would fall on my knees, and I would begin to petition the throne room of God. God, where are you? I'm hurting, and I know you're my only source. And at that point, he would hold me in his arms, and he would say, I'm here. And I would begin to feel the love and the peace and the strength of God like I've never felt or loved before. Maybe you've been in that situation. Maybe you've been in such a desperate place, such a depleted moment, such a hurting and longing of your heart. Maybe it's about your children, or maybe it's about a physical condition. Maybe it's about a faith issue. God, I don't know if I'm in faith. I don't know how to get myself in faith. You see, God's a loving God. There isn't this abracadabra formula. He says, just come to me. Just approach me. Just meet with me. This isn't deep theological insight. This is come pray. Come be with me. Come settle your hearts at my throne. Come be intimate with me. All she did was approach him with faith. We can approach the king in the same way. In Hebrews 4:16 in the New Living Translation, it says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Ephesians 11:12. I love Ephesians 3. If you can do anything, let me just say this, and I've said this ever since I've gone to Rhema, because these passages got me in faith. These passages changed my life. Can you turn with me to Ephesians? I'm not just going to read it. We're going to read it together. Because there's power in the word. And you see, if we don't know who we are in Christ, and if we don't know who Christ is, we're going to have a really hard time connecting with the one who created us. Ephesians 3, for this reason, I'm going to start in verse 1, I, Paul the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the dispensation of grace. Actually, I'm going to move down to verse 14. We could go through the whole thing. I love the whole Ephesians 3, but we don't have time. Okay, moving on. Verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might through his spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded. You see, your faith is going to be what roots and what grounds you. When life comes, when those situations don't seem to change in a timely manner, when you are in a depleted moment, when you are at your wit's end, what will ground you will be your faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend, that you may be able to understand what the fullness and the knowledge of God, that you will be filled with the fullness of God, that now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. We've read this right before when they were singing it. In verse 11 and 12, I love this. It says, according to the eternal purpose which is accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means it's already done. Accomplished means finished. It is done. He went to the cross. He died for your sickness. He died for your sin. It is a done deal. It's already been done. He's not going to go back to the cross. He's not going to go back. It is a work. It is a work that has been finished, that has been accomplished. Verse 12, in whom who we have. Does it say pastors have? Does it say maybe the men only? Maybe those people that really serve God, but me, you know, sometimes I'm having a hard time struggling with the things of God. Is that who he's talking about? No, we. Who we, say I, who I, say it again, I, have boldness in him who have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Do you get it? We can approach the throne room of God with confidence, with faith, and with boldness, knowing that I know that I am God's daughter, that he has already paid the price for what it is that I am going to need in that moment for my family, for myself, for this time that we're living in. Believe me, girls, I need you to start praying for this world. If you've turned on the news, it is falling apart and falling apart quickly. People are hurting each other for no reason. People are saying horrible things about each other. There's no love going on. And dark is getting darker, but guess what? God is getting brighter. And if you can get in faith, if you can approach the throne room on behalf of the world, on behalf of yourself, on behalf of your families, on behalf of whatever it is your situation is, you will begin to see the power of God just as this woman did, because she came. This woman knew that she needed to be with Jesus. If we stop spending time with God in prayer, the concerns of this physical world will snatch our attention while the spiritual senses deaden the promises, and the promises will fade. I don't want anything to deaden in my heart towards the things of God. I want all the promises he has for you and I. I want to see you guys flourish. I want to see God's power working through you and in you and around you. I think that God is ready to do something, and I believe that he is raising up an army. He's raising up a congregation. He's raising up his royal priesthood, his holy nation, his daughters. And that is not just the pastors. That is not just those good Christians. That is you sitting in these seats today that said, I'm going to come and I'm going to come be with God on a Thursday morning. I'm going to take some time out to find out who my king is. I'm going to approach the throne of God. Number two, she had faith. She approached him and she had faith. Her faith was crowned by a king. That's pretty cool. The King of heaven and earth crowned her with her faith. See, we need to act in faith. The greatest target that Satan has is to break down our faith. He knows all too well that the righteous live by faith. So he aims at cutting our lifeline to God. You see, faith is what connects us. I can't go and touch God like I can touch Beth, right? I don't have those like physical moments. Oh, but I'll tell you something. When I'm in my closet alone and everybody's knocking on the outside of that door, my lifeline, the most intimate times in my life is with my King. Is when I'm in his word, when I'm sitting at his feet, when I'm in my moment of prayer. Sometimes I believe it or not, I am out of words when I talk to God. I know, I talk a lot. But sometimes when I'm talking with God, I'm like, I don't know what to say anymore. You know, like, I could pray for everyone's healing, and I do. But God, sometimes I just want to sit and hang out. Sometimes I just want to be with you. This morning I got in my closet. That's where I go. And Max is scratching at the door, and the kids are yelling, and Dan's going, what are you doing? I'm like, you know what? I am being with God. You know, when you need to be a God, you get to be a God. Let me be a God. And I sat in there, and I'm praying for healing. I'm praying for this message today. I'm praying for what it is God wants to do in your hearts and in my heart and us together as a body of Christ. And then all of a sudden, I had nothing else to say. And I was like, I'm sorry, God, I'm out of words. He said, it's okay. Because there's faith rising in your heart. And you don't even realize it. And I went, really? Yep. And he just began to speak things to me about today and about the church and about where we're going and what we're doing and what he wants for us. And believe me, women, it's very hard to get those intimate moments, to get ourselves back in faith. But maybe we need to do some things to stir ourselves back in faith. Number one, you gotta turn the TV off. I'm going to give you some practicals, okay? Practical, turn the TV off. Okay? Practical, put down the sci-fi book or the fictional book or the romance book. Don't fill your head with anything but the Word of God. Don't even get out a devotional. You go get your Bible. Go get your Bible. And you begin to find out what God says to you. Not what someone else is writing to, because those are great to get you back on track. I love devotionals. I use them myself. But there are times when nothing else speaks to my heart like the Word of God. And get yourselves back in faith. What are you believing God for? What is it that you forgot to ask God for again? You know, I just didn't see it come to pass, so I'm just, apparently it's not his will. Did you ever think that maybe it's just not his timing? You see, we put God in a box and we're like, if you don't do it by this time, then, you know, I'm moving on. And he's going, thanks for moving on. Maybe that's not the will right now, but maybe I do have that for you in the future. You see, you have to stir yourself back in faith. This woman had to stir herself back. I'm sure she was depressed, especially being on her period that long. She's probably tired. She's probably hungry all the time. She's probably crabby. Good thing people weren't around because she's probably crabby. And I mean, honestly, think about it. My husband was like, oh, what's going on with you? You know, like, we know what's happening with Jess. And so she probably cried a lot. Do you ever have those moments where you're just like, I don't know why I'm crying, but I am. I mean, I have those moments. And if I put myself in this woman's place and I think, gosh, for 12 years she lived like this. Something inside of her had to be stirred up because I'm sure depression wanted to settle in. But see, faith cannot live with depression. Faith cannot live with defeated. And faith does not live in the realm of victory. I mean, it does live in the realm of victory. It does not. Oh, you know what I'm saying. Faith lives among victory. Faith is moved by a heart that surrenders to the King of Kings and says, you did it anyways, and here you go, God. I need you to move on my behalf. I need you to do what no man can do. I need you to heal what no man can heal. I need you to be where no man can be. I need you to be everything, my all in all, my one that says, this is how it goes, and your faith begins to rise, and you have to kick your butt back into faith. You said, that is not fun, and that is not easy. Well, you know what? Look around. You see the girl next to you? Look around. This is why we have girlfriends. Because I believe we are the iron that sharpens iron. You are sitting next to someone that you can be like, I'm having a rough day. I'm having a hard time. And they could say, you know what? Okay, you're allowed to have a rough day. You're allowed to have a rough time. But get yourself back in faith. Come on. I'm believing for the best. I believe for that miracle. I believe for that strength. I believe that even though we haven't seen it, God's doing something behind the scenes. He's moving in a way that we may not know, but I know he's moving. Because we asked, we approached the throne, and we did this together. You see, we are better together than we are apart, and the enemy knows that. He shudders. Oh, no, these girls are getting together. Oh, no, these girls' faith is rising. Oh, no, they're going to come after me. Oh, no, I'm not going to be able to move any longer on their children or their husbands or their homes or their depression. I am no longer going to have place because they are cheering each other on. They are encouraging each other back in faith. They are being who God has made them to be. You see, he's not dumb. He knows who we are. He is more scared of you than you are of him, but you may not act that way. Have you ever seen a spider? How big is a spider? This big, right? Let's say it's a big spider. Arachnophobia. You all are thinking about the movie. And so many times, a spider will run across our house, and my daughter, like, runs upstairs, and Micah always comes to the rescue, and she flips out. I mean, just absolutely loses her, like, wits in. So does my best friend over here. She, like, seriously is like, do not be in public with her when there's a spider around. It's really embarrassing. And this thing is about this big, and how big are you? And I always tell the kids this. I'm like, you are like this big. Think about that poor spider. He's probably scared of you, and he knows that he's in our house, so he's going to die. Because you come in my house, you die. If you are an outside animal, you die, okay? Anything that comes in the house, you die. And Chloe's like, well, I know that, Mom. I know. It just still freaks me out, you know? Sometimes I think that we get that way with the enemy. You know, he's actually like this big, according to the power of God. According to who's working through us and in us and around us, right? According to the gifts that have been left for us. And yet we go, oh, bad report. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do about my finances. Oh, my friend, she just broke my heart. I can't move on. Oh, I'm devastated about my husband. And God's probably going, seriously? Like, you're like this big. And he's like this big. Use your tools. Use what I left you. Use what I went to the cross for. It's already done. You see, God knows what we needed. He knew what we needed. He knew. He experienced life. He did life. all the way from a little baby all the way up, he understood who we were and where we were going to live. He understood what it was that we were going to face, heartache and break and devastation. He understood. And he went to the cross so that we can conquer what comes our way. I wish I could tell you, you know what? Once you meet Jesus, ain't no problem's going to happen. You're just going to be so blessed. Life's going to be good. That's not reality. Reality is the enemy, that little spider, is going to try and scare you in a big shadow, like, ah, you know, make himself look real big. Make those problems look real extreme. And you know what knocks him down off his block? Faith. A woman full of faith, full of love, and full of hope is probably the most scariest thing to him in the world. I'm telling you, it is the scariest thing in the world. Because faith moves mountains. Hope defers depression and anxiety and all this. Hope is a blessing. Hope keeps us going, and hope in Christ Jesus, there's nothing like it. And love covers a multitude of sins. You see, with those three things, we can accomplish what it is he first accomplished, and we can carry it out. Faith moves. Satan wants us to focus on the problem and not the provider. We need to focus on the provider. This woman focused on Jesus. That was her move. That was her place. That was where she knew her source was coming from, and she went after it. Last, she received. So many times, we may receive what God has for us, and we don't even know it, because we're so caught up in our own head, in our own patterns of doing life, in our own, you know, well, this didn't happen. Well, maybe it didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen. But he actually gave you what you asked for. There's been so many times that I've seen people die of cancer. And there was this one person, and as I grew up, I watched him. He got a lump on his neck, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And we were saying, you know, you should go and get that check. Just go. No, I'm believing for my healing, believing for my healing, believing for my healing. Hallelujah, we're believing for your healing too, but go check with the doctor, see what he could do for you. No, I'm believing, I don't believe in doctors, I don't, da, da, da. All of a sudden we're going, but they can help you, they can help you. It got to the point where he ended up suffocating himself and he died. And it was like, maybe God has the doctors to help us. Maybe God says, you're going to get healed, but this is the pattern that I need you to go down in order to receive your healing. Because in your pattern of healing, there may be people that you're going to come across that you are going to preach my name to, that are going to get healed through you. And if you wouldn't have gone down this road, you would have never seen, they would have never known. Patty Cota just passed. That woman fought in faith like nobody's business. She had cancer, and man, that woman, she would be all dolled up when she came to Girlfriends. Do you remember? I mean, she was just the cutest thing in the whole world. I'm thinking, you have stage 4 cancer? Like, really? You were just at chemo, like, the day before, and you look so cute. I mean, she would just loved God. And at her funeral, they told this story about this man that she was going through chemo with, and she was just witnessing to him. He wanted nothing to do with God. Nothing. And so she was just like, okay, well, one day, I don't remember what she said. She said something like, one day you're going to know who he is. And then Fred got a phone call. Fred Adams, our administrator, Reverend Fred. And he went to go visit this man in the hospital. This man receives the Lord. So Fred gets up, starts telling the story about Patty witnessing to him and then him being able to pray with this man. And out of the blue, this lady came up out of the thing and said, I just want to let you guys know, was she his wife? I'm his wife. And because of that, we are getting, all of our family is getting saved. You see, you never know. You never know what God has. It may be a trial you don't understand, but is he still God? He's still God. You know, my dad says this, and I know people won't get it maybe, but I get it. He is God, whether I think so or not. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth. He is the one who formed me in my mother's womb. He is the one who knows all and ends all. And if he sent me to hell, he would still be a just God. He would still be God. You see, my faith is big. But I have to be able to receive it. Sometimes we get gifts from people. I've given gifts to people like, oh no. It's like that humble heart. Okay, I get it. Love the humble heart. Beautiful. But just take the gift already. Like, I want to give you a gift. Have you ever felt that way? And then, you know, us really Christianese people, we're like, you know, don't let us, you know, not be blessed when we give you your gift, because this is what God has asked us to do. And then you're like, all right, I got to keep it. But so many times, God is trying to give us gifts. You know, there are gifts of faith. I believe that when something hits, God can give you a gift of faith for that. God can give you a gift of faith for your healing. God can give you a gift of faith for a new house. God can give you a gift of faith for whatever it is God needs. I've watched it. I've seen it in my life. I've watched God be faithful beyond faithful. And I have seen my parents just be like, okay, this is what we're doing. Because we're in faith. I watched my dad, who was hurting, who had a failed surgery. He is back to his old ways. He is back to his old self. He is healed because of faith. The doctors failed him. That surgery failed him. Thank God that is not the final in our lives. He went down the path. He went down what he needed to do. But you know what happened? He began to praise God. And he began to see his healing and getting himself back in faith. Listen, receive your healing. Receive it. It's like salvation. You may not see it right away when you get prayed for. But it begins to manifest in you. And you begin to go, ooh, I feel good. I'm starting to feel good. Some people get it immediately, like the woman with the issue of blood. But I have seen it happen where over a period of time that healing happens. And we're going to pray for healing today. And I believe God's going to do something. But she received her healing. Luke 8:44. You getting something from God today? Luke 8:44. She came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow stopped. Immediately. Matthew 21:22. If you have faith, you will receive whatever you pray for. Boy, that's simple. Is that simple? If you have faith. Is he God or isn't he? Can he heal or can he? Are we going to talk ourselves out of it and not receive his healing? John 16:24. Until now, we have asked nothing. We have asked nothing in my name. Ask. He's telling us ask. You will receive. And your joy may be full. Just ask. And you will receive. Acts 14:9-10. This man heard Paul speaking. I love this one. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Now, this is not Jesus. This is Paul. Normal person, just like you and me, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And the leper walked. You see, Jesus healed, and then Paul healed. God is not a respecter of persons. He has that for you. Mark 16:17-18. And these signs will follow those who believe. Are you believers? Yes. My believer? Yes. So this is what should be following us. All right? In my name, in the name of Jesus, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Those are promises from God. And that woman went before the king. She touched the hem of his garment and she received.